turns out the dirty dishes, the vacuuming, that can be a big source of tension in relationships. Those crusty cereal bowls and stuck-on eggs that take a whole day to soak. Seemingly, little things add up in a big way when it comes to household chores. It's relationships and who's doing what and why on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Over the past several decades, men have assumed a greater share of household chores. Today, they perform an average of 4 hours of housework every week, compared to 2 hours in 1965. That's according to research published in 2012 in the social research journal Social Forces. Let's bring in Dan Carlson. He is an assistant professor of family and consumer studies at the University of Utah. He's lead author of a new study from the Council of Contemporary Families. It's titled Stalled for Whom? Change in the Division of Particular Housework Tasks and Their Consequences for Middle to Low-Income Couples. Dan, welcome to the program.
Yeah, my pleasure to be here.
Well, before we dive into the details of your report, how has how we deal with housework changed over the decades?
Well, that's a good question. So at least as far as our research is concerned, it looks like couples are far more likely to be sharing housework than they were in the past. You know, our research, we do want to look at different kinds of housework tasks because they vary in their qualities. And at least, you know, in the early 90s, things like cooking were shared, you know, maybe by 15% of couples. You know, tasks like laundry and cleaning were shared by 10%. So, you know, couples weren't sharing a great deal. Then we looked forward into the early 2000s and we saw that for almost all tasks, the number of couples who were sharing had doubled. As had the number of couples that had men doing the majority of tasks. That went from something less than, you know, 3 or 4% to upwards of 10% in many couples.
What led to your interest in studying this?
There's a couple of things. The first is that, you know, there's been a lot of research, you know, over the years looking at how housework is related to couples' well-being, how it's related to their relationship stability, to their relationship quality, to their sexual intimacy. And a lot of that research was driven by, you know, observations that things were changing. You know, in the 60s, women, especially mothers with young kids, entered the labor force en masse. It really increased their labor force participation, became really important contributors to family coffers. They decreased their housework, men increased theirs. You know, but a lot of what we knew about how housework is associated with couples' well-being was produced using data from the 80s and 90s. And so we really wanted to update that with more contemporary information. And then the other thing is, again, kind of pulling housework apart. So much research had just lumped all these housework tasks together, you know, treating cooking, cleaning, dishes, laundry, all as if they're the same thing. And again, you know, there's differing qualities in these tasks. And so we wanted to look at them individually and see, you know, if they had their own unique consequences.
It was really interesting in your report how you brought to light the current climate that we live in light of the Me Too movement, in light of working toward more gender parity at work. You asked the question, is that keeping up inside the home? Is that happening inside the home? What did you find out by asking that question?
Yeah, so, you know, the one thing about the Me Too movement and, you know, just the current climate of calling out sexual harassers, you know, is that there's clearly evidence, right, that we're moving forward. But because, you know, so many women are sharing these stories and have similar experiences really suggests just how far we have to go. And, you know, when it comes to couples and, you know, how they divide the labor, you know, there has been notions that we've been in the midst of a stalled revolution when it comes to gender. That, again, a lot of those changes that happened, you know, starting in the 60s, that they sort of had petered out in the 90s and that we kind of have been stuck in this situation where we had made progress, but we hadn't quite gotten to gender equality. You know, again, you noted that men had, you know, increased their housework performance from 2 to 4 hours, you know, and it's doubling, right? But it's certainly not a lot of change. And men have been doing about 4 hours of housework since the 90s. So we wanted to see, you know, has this just gender revolution stalled? Are we in the midst of the stall, or maybe had it picked up again? And our work, at least, you know, seems to suggest that we're not in a stall anymore. And again, it's consistent with this, you know, Me Too movement and a lot of the changes that are going on in the public sphere, that things maybe have been reignited.
So let's break down some of these household chores. What tend to be the most unpopular household chores for men and women?
Unpopular. I would say that I can't say that our data necessarily speaks directly to popularity, but you know, household chores, generally speaking, at least the kinds that we look at, tend not to be the ones that people really get revved up about doing. You know, we looked at a lot of what we call routine housework, and these are the chores that are done daily or at least on a regular basis. These are not things that are left to once a month or you know, just the weekends. These are done during the weekday. These include things like cooking, cleaning, laundry, dishes, shopping, even. And you know, at least when it comes to doing these things, men were the most likely to be engaging in things like shopping and cooking, which if you want to kind of talk about, you know, popularity in terms of tasks, you could say that these are the least onerous ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the ones that might be the most pleasurable to do. You know, shopping gets you out of the house. You get to run around. You know, cooking, you know, a lot of people love cooking. And so you can get a lot of pleasure out of that. The things that men were least likely to do that were most likely to be women's responsibilities, you could argue were sort of the least pleasurable tasks, things like cleaning the house and doing the laundry and things like that.
Certainly doing the dishes got a lot of traction as I was exploring this. What about the dishes? What did you learn there?
So one thing we learned about the dishes is that over time, you know, dishes became the task that was least likely to be a woman's sole responsibility. That wasn't the case in the early 90s. In the early 90s, it was shopping. Shopping was the task that was most likely to be shared, least likely to be a woman's task. But over time, that shifted towards dishes. And in fact, dishes are not only most likely to be shared by couples, but they're also the task that's most likely to be just a man's responsibility in about 15% of couples. You know, that sort of shift is interesting because it also happened to coincide with the fact that dishes, like no other task, matter for women's assessments of their relationship. You know, women who are sharing dishes with their partner reported, you know, lower couple discord, so they fought less often. They were less likely to think about breaking up. They were less likely to be engaging in physical arguments. They had the highest rated relationship satisfaction, and they tended to report more sexual intimacy. They were more satisfied with their sexual relationships.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dan Carlson. He's an assistant professor of family and consumer studies at the University of Utah. He's lead author of a new report out by the Council of Contemporary Families that looks up how Americans divvy up household chores and the impact on their relationships. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Which household chore is your least favorite, and who handles it in your house? Do you feel resentment when you take on tasks your partner doesn't usually help with? How does it impact your relationship? How do you negotiate around what's fair in household chores? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Dan, wondering, have we seen heterosexual couples increasingly share responsibilities over time that perhaps even are new to the household chore itinerary, if you will, such as who's paying bills and who is balancing a checkbook, which can be detail-oriented tasks that take time?
Yeah, that's a good question. And one thing that we thought a lot about when we were doing this study is We, as a society, generally speaking, we love time savers, right? And we, at least when it comes to housework, embrace those quite a bit. So, for instance, the dishwasher, and to the degree to which having one in the home might affect the time that we spend in housework and also how we divvy it up. And so, to your question though about bills, we did look at tasks that were sort of non-routine, that were historically actually kind of masculine tasks that were given to men. And at least with respect to bill pay, one of the things that we found was that it's actually become a task that's more the responsibility of women than it was in the past. In the early 90s, about 50% of couples actually had the female partner doing the bills. And that increased by about 5% looking forward into the early 2000s. And in fact, when it comes to bill pay, interestingly, couples are far less likely to be sharing that today than they were in the past. And this might have everything to do with the fact that women are far more likely now to be breadwinners in their family. And if you are bringing home the bacon, so to speak, then you might also be holding the purse strings.
Let's talk a little bit about earnings. Does what we make impact who does what chores?
So that's a really good question, and something that I've been working on for a while now, and some of my other research. And the answer, honestly, is it's kind of complicated. Because on the one hand, women especially can take their earnings and use those to buy out of housework, right? And that what we mean by that is, purchasing market substitutes for housework. So that's eating out, that's sending clothes to the cleaners, that's hiring, someone to come in and clean the house. So earnings certainly can be used to reduce household work. And the more you make, the more likely it is that you'll do less housework. At the same time, though, what we've found in our research is that things flow in the opposite direction as well. Because if you have a lot of responsibilities at home, that might inhibit your ability to work outside the house, to engage in paid work, to spend time, working on your career and developing your skills. And, those sorts of things might mean that if you have a job, that maybe you get passed over for the promotion or the raise because you're not putting in as much as, your coworker. And so we find this is actually quite reciprocal. How much you make certainly affects how much housework you do, but how many housework responsibilities you have a negative impact on your earnings. And we find that for both men and women.
We're talking about household chores and the interplay with relationships here on The Morning Show. Dan Carlson is with us. He's an assistant professor of family and consumer studies at the University of Utah. He's lead author of the report by the Council of Contemporary Families. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. So, divulge which household chore is your least favorite and who handles it, by the way, in your house. Do you feel resentful when you take on tasks your partner doesn't usually help with? And what impact does that have on your relationship? How do you negotiate around what is fair? Call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. When women are busy doing household chores, they have less time for paid work. That's according to the founder of the Salary Project, which aims at helping women better understand their market value and negotiating for higher wages. We're exploring a new report by the Council of Contemporary Families that looked at the delicate balance in who does what household chores and how that impacts the relationship. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The report is titled, Stalled for Whom? Change in the Division of Particular Housework tasks and their consequences for middle to low income couples. Lead author Dan Carlson stays with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you decide who does the worst chores among the household tasks? What are those deplorable chores? Do you and your partner share tasks like dishwashing or cooking? How does that impact the relationship? Join in or email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Jenna joining us from Bruce. Hi, Jenna.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So my least favorite household chore is cleaning the litter box. But my husband and I have been able to tackle this feat by, well, having a child. Our son will be one next week, Wednesday. And when I was pregnant, my doctor said, you cannot touch the litter box. So my husband had to take on that task, which really helped. So now we both take turns doing it. So when one of us is in the basement, I'll just, you know, holler down and be like, hey, clean the litter box. And he's like, all right. So then I have to do it next time. But that really, really helped alleviate the daunting task of the cat box.
Well, I also think that a number of women have gone through that, Jenna. Thank you so much for bringing that one to the table. Dan Carlson, what do you make of that? The litter box.
Yeah, so I can see definitely why, you know, the litter box is the least favorite task. And, you know, when it comes to housework, again, why couples might share or not share, or why there might be more disagreements about particular tasks does boil down to things with respect to how desirable or how, you know, for lack of a better term, how gross a particular task may be. And so the things that are the least desirable or tend to be the ones that, you know, might be a sticking point and couples. And, you know, Jenna's point about how being pregnant actually encouraged her partner to do more housework is a really interesting one, because for the most part, we find the opposite. You know, becoming a parent and having children is perhaps the biggest thing that leads couples to divide the housework in a more traditional manner. Becoming a mother, you know, like no other task, leads women to end up shouldering more of the housework than having their partner take on more of it.
Let's go to Vicki in Milwaukee. Hi, Vicki.
Hi there. I'm glad you guys are talking about parenthood, because I'm a new mom and I just went back to work. I've been back to work for a week and a half. And I was doing way more of the housework than I normally was before baby was born while I was on maternity leave. But now that I'm back, baby's breastfeeding. When I get home from work, I spend a lot of time doing that. So at helping to do some laundry. This morning I said, hey, where's the laundry? It was still down in the basement in the machine. He said, oh, that's all right, I'll go down. So we went down, grabbed himself a pair of socks, and came back up. So I'm driving to a meeting now, still irritated about that. But I think my point is, when you are a working mom of an infant, you've got more time spent with infant care, more time, you know, back to work, and some of the household chores that maybe you thought you had divided, you realize, like, wow, I do more than I thought.
Oh, Vicki, thank you so much for sharing your story and that landscape of being back to work a week and a half, and still having to negotiate what that looks like as the changing landscape of work. Dan Carlson.
Yeah. One thing about housework, it's really interesting. You know, in the data that we have, it's really rich data in the sense that we're getting information from couples and we're interviewing both partners, and there is a lot of disagreement in couples as to how they're sharing housework tasks. And you find this across studies over time. So ours is no different in this respect, but men are far more likely to say that they are sharing tasks with their partners than women are. Women are far more likely to be saying that they are shouldering the majority of it. And so what this says is that, you know, both men and women are looking at these things from very different lights and in very different ways. And, you know, from a male perspective, you know, we are not socialized as young children for these things, for parenthood, right, for nurturing, caretaking. And we're not certainly socialized, generally speaking, for housework. You know, boys aren't given easy bake ovens. Boys aren't given little vacuum cleaners. Boys aren't, you know, following their mom around the house, necessarily cleaning. And so one thing with men is that they don't necessarily see, right, that they don't do much, and they don't necessarily, you know, take on the responsibility in their mind for these things either, which is interesting because, a lot of people talk about when men chipping in the house is helping, right? But that suggests that it's still not their responsibility. And when something is not your responsibility and you don't take ownership for it in your mind, it's really easy to forget about it, right? And then to not do it. And so for women, housework isn't only just a task that they do physically on a day-to-day basis, but it's also something that takes up a lot of brain space in that they become the managers of the household. And so it can be work, too, to remind partners, right, to do these things.
Well, it's interesting what Vicky brings up because it perhaps shows that it's easy to fall into roles and routines, even if it's just a 3-month maternity leave of her being on leave and having different access or availability during the day to take on more chores.
Yeah, indeed. You know, and you know, in the United States, you know, people who are able to take leave, it's really it's a blessing, and it's not available to everybody. You know, we're a country who our peers in terms of paid maternity leave are countries like Sri Lanka and Suriname, right? Because we don't offer paid leave like almost every other country in the world. And paid leave can be really important for setting up these sort of new responsibilities. You know, parenthood is a major change. It creates a lot of new negotiations and a lot of new responsibilities that have to be managed, and new routines that have to be organized. And it's important that couples have that time to settle into those roles. And then, of course, yes, parents are going back to work later, and then that's another shift. And so, you know, with respect to managing the housework, in addition to just childcare, you know, having that time off where men can you know, support their wives or their partners, and again, take on more of those tasks, the longer they're doing it, the more likely it probably is to stick long term. And so paternity leave becomes, or maternity leave becomes a very important piece in setting up, you know, again, these new routines.
Up to this point, we've been looking at heterosexual couples. Is there any research out there on same-sex couples or on gender nonconforming couples when it comes to division of labor at home?
Yeah. So one thing is, this is certainly an emerging area of research, you know, the insights that can be gained looking at same-sex couples or gender nonconforming couples, what it shows is it really just shows how much gender matters and gender differences matter in determining the household division of labor. So same-sex couples are far more likely to share housework tasks than opposite sex couples. And the one thing that Lisa, this is that they don't have these gender norms and conventions to just fall back into. You know, heterosexual couples often find themselves without even really thinking about it often, just kind of falling back into these sort of cultural patterns of you know, what men do and what women do. And you know, I did some colleagues of mine, you know, did some in-depth interviews some years ago on cohabitors, and they just wrote a book called Cohabitation Nation, where they, you know, asked couples about the division of labor and asked if they had even, you know, discussed this before moving in. And you'd be surprised how many couples, you know, they don't even think to talk about the housework. And when that happens, you know, this is when you end up finding people falling back into those normative patterns.
Let's bring in Thomas now from Milwaukee. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, I think the point you brought up about having children and how that affects gender roles and chores was interesting. You know, we were two young professionals, fairly non-traditional, I would say, fairly even division of labor that didn't sort of mean that I did all the heavy lifting and she did all the housework, et cetera. It was more evenly split. I changed the litter box, you know, whatever. But once we had children, we realized that, you know, we crunched all the numbers that we were going to make a change that we didn't anticipate, and she ended up staying home. So we followed a more traditional model that she fully embraced, knowing all the consequences, and she loved it, and it works perfectly for our family. And as a consequence, you know, in the end, it's turned out to be hardly traditional at all. I mean, now, because of the convenience and the fact that that works so smoothly, I've been able to have some more success and bring in more money, bring in more help. She started her own business now and is doing likewise. So I would challenge people not to think, you know, if you go traditional, it means you're locked into this old division of labor, or what's traditional, what's conformist, et cetera. I mean, everybody's different, and there are choices that can work for families that you might not suspect.
Well, Thomas, thank you for bringing your story. And Dan Carlson, Thomas says there, it's hardly traditional at all in the end.
Yeah. You know, Thomas makes a really important point about, you know, objectively, you know, the arrangements, what matters really is two things about an arrangement. And one reason why egalitarianism, sharing housework, tends to work out better for couples is that on the one hand, couples are more likely to see these arrangements as fair to both partners. That is, that one partner isn't being disadvantaged. And these arrangements are also more likely to lead to more teamwork. You know, sharing necessitates more cooperation, more communication, more negotiation, doing things together, so therefore spending more time together. And those are important foundations of high quality relationships. So just sharing housework actually sets a foundation up for actually developing a closer bond. But those things don't necessarily have to come from egalitarianism, right? I mean, if you have a traditional arrangement and you both buy into this, and you see it as fair and just, and you find a way, you know, to still be a team, then sure, you're likely to have positive outcomes. It just so happens that egalitarianism and sharing housework is more likely to lead to those things, but it's not, you know, a 100% determinant.
Let's bring in Doug now with thoughts. Doug is in Lancaster. Hi, Doug.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've been a stay-at-home dad going on 14 years now, and one thing that I've really noticed, and it drives me bonkers, is when one member of the family has to work and one member of the family is staying home, be it by choice or layoff, there is definitely, I've noticed, a separation of jobs between men's jobs and women's jobs. And it drives me up the wall that a lot of guys will not cook, will not do laundry, and will not do basic household chores because they don't see it as their responsibility. I'm by no means am I perfect, but it took me a while to figure out, hey, my wife can't do this stuff. She is working full-time. I'm home full-time, so these are my responsibilities and my duties. And we learn to pick them up, and we learn from our mistakes like we should at all other costs, but a lot of guys don't even want to take that first step because they don't see it as their job.
Doug, thanks for bringing that to the conversation. Dan Carlson, what do you make of that, that there isn't even the thought that this is in their area of doing it, that it's not their job?
Yeah, I think, you know, Doug is right on in his observation. You know, there's a lot of research that came out in, you know, the late 90s and early 2000s, sort of looking at, you know, how men's earnings, for instance, or their labor force participation was associated with their housework. And, you know, what this research had found is that actually when men, you know, earn less than their partners, and when they're not employed, that they actually did less housework. And you know, this research was, it was couched in this notion that, that what men do is because they lose so much of their masculine identity by becoming financially dependent on their partner or being unemployed. We wrap men's identities up so much in being a breadwinner that they kind of put their foot down and say, well, you're not going to fully emasculate me, right? You're not going to take away this and also make me your maid. And so men refuse to do housework. And so it kind of pulled back from that. Now, more recent research would suggest that maybe this is, again, just more not about how the share of earnings that men make, but more or less just, you know, the ability to buy out of housework tasks, and that really this is all driven by women's earnings. But you know, the point here is that men certainly in their mind do not see these often as their responsibilities. And you know, for stay-at-home dads, like Doug, men, and he points this out, men get thrust into these positions sometimes not because they want to, right, but because they have to, because, you know, maybe they're injured and can't work or they can't find employment. And, you know, the number of men who are staying home with their kids has increased. In fact, it's doubled. You know, there's twice as many stay-at-home dads today than there was in the early 90s. And far more men today are saying they're doing it for their family, right? They're doing it out of a desire. But still, the vast majority of men are doing it because they can't find gainful employment. And so what our research suggests is that, generally speaking, when men are doing the majority of housework, that this is not a good situation for couples. Couples find this to be the least fair arrangement. They're the least satisfied with it. They have the least amount of sexual intimacy. And again, I think a lot of this boils down to, you know, reversing conventions is really difficult because men don't see these things as their responsibility and they get really resentful about it.
A study to be published later this month in the American Sociological Association Journal looks at the various chores that couples split, from laundry to shopping to mowing the lawn. It uses data, sources data from 1965 to 2006 from the National Survey of Families and Households, as well as the Marital and Relationship Survey. University of Utah professor Dan Carlson stays with us. He's the lead author of the report put out by the Council of Contemporary Families. You can chime in on the division of labor in your unit, in your house, 800-642-1234. Which household chore is your least favorite? Who handles it under your roof? Do you feel resentful when you take on tasks your partner doesn't usually help with? How does that go? How does that ensuing conversation go with him? Call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll pick up the conversation in just a moment on the Ideas Network. The Pew Research Center surveyed American adults about a decade ago on what makes successful marriages. Sharing household chores ranked third in importance on a list of 9 items often associated with successful marriages. Well ahead, though, of biggies like adequate income, good housing, common interests, and shared religious beliefs. Well ahead even of children. We're talking about a new report from the Council of Contemporary Families here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for joining us. Dan Carlson is with us. He's an assistant professor of family and consumer studies at the University of Utah, lead author of a study that asked a couple key questions in light of the Me Too movement and gender equality at work. What is happening on the home front? Has the gender revolution there stalled, or is progress being made? What do you think? 800-642-1234. How do you decide who does the worst chores among the household tasks? Do you and your partner share them? How does that impact your relationship? Call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. Dan, your study found out that men feel better when they do take on some specific chores that perhaps reporting greater happiness and better sex than those whose partners shouldered the tasks, some of these tasks themselves. What were some of the outcomes in this sharing of chores?
So, you know, the one chore that really seems to that men really respond to very positively is shopping. You know, when men are sharing the shopping with their partners, they report, you know, highest relationship satisfaction. They report far fewer, again, you know, fights and things like this. And this is, this goes, you know, not only for them doing it themselves, but also having their partner do it. So sharing is better than both of the alternatives. Mm. And, you know, it's really interesting question as to why that might be. And the data doesn't really speak necessarily to it, but we can wager a guess that, you know, shopping again is a pleasurable task. You know, when you get out of the house and you're at the grocery store, that can certainly be a bonding experience. I was talking to someone the other day who told me that when they were a young couple, that this was sort of their date night, right? That going to the grocery store was actually a kind of a social event for them. And so it seems that that task is really beneficial for men's sense of well-being in their couple.
Let's bring in Harry now from Wapaka. Hi, Harry. Harry, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah,
go ahead.
Strange sound. I liked what you said earlier about how there's a difference in perception, right? How men will answer the questionnaire saying that they do share it a lot more often than women would answer the question that way. And that my experience is that I think that I do share the chores. But there are certain differences in how it is perceived. So my wife will say, why is it that the bathroom's not cleaned up? And I'll say, I didn't know it needed to be done. She'll say, well, of course it needs to be done. So things don't appear to me as soon as they appear to my wife that they need doing. And then when she's gone, I've been a stay-at-home dad for a while, and when she's gone to work, I'll do the laundry. So to me, I do laundry half of the week, and she does laundry when she's there. But she'll say she does all the laundry. Tell herself that because she knows very well that I've done it. But when she's talking about it, she'll say that she does all the laundry. And then another difference is that I'll wash the dishes after dinner. But then I'll be taking too long. So I'm trying to share the work, right? But I'm not doing it right because I'm taking too long. I thought that was interesting.
Perception, you bring in a couple instances here where perception has a lot to do with this. Dan Carlson, what do you make of that?
Yeah, it's a really, a lot of things are going through my head right now, actually. So, one thing is, you know, whose perceptions are the right perceptions, right? Who's accurate? And hard to say, right? You know, I think that a lot of times we see what we want to see. And this is how we think about the division of chores is a very emotional sort of thing. You know, so for instance, you know, when I'm upset with my wife, right? Those are the moments where I'm like, I do everything right around here, and vice versa. She does the same thing. When you feel like things aren't fair, you're more likely to ignore or to overlook the contributions of your partner, right? And not see those things. Additionally, you know, there is this notion of controlling housework and also variation in standards, right? So, you know, do chores get done to a partner's standards? And, you know, one thing about women, generally speaking, is that they have higher standards of cleanliness than men do. And a lot of this is boiled down. It's not personality, right? This is something that's socialized into women because women are therefore the ones who are judged for the look of the house, right? People are not going to come over to my home, and if you know the toilet's dirty, or if there's things strewn about, or there's a lot of dishes piled up in the sink.
But we've heard the flip side of that as well, where you know men have had those same tendencies, right?
Oh, sure, yes. I mean, yes, yeah. I would say generally the the general finding would be that when it comes to standards of cleanliness, right, and thinking about the chores, that this is something that is more on the mind of women. And they're going to be more the ones who are more likely to be judged for it. Therefore, they're going to have higher standards of cleanliness. And we find this in our interviews with couples as well. Well, why do you share this? You know, why does your female partner do all of it? It's like, oh, well, you know, she just likes things cleaner than I do. And so those kinds of personality characteristics, you know, can bleed over into exactly how things end up getting shared.
It seems like Harry also mentioned more of this, like, perhaps you could call it an efficiency gap in household chores, that he's not doing them as efficiently as the spouse could.
Right. Yeah. And again, that also boils down to experience, right? And what I call socialization. So it's like, you know, the things that you learn over time, if boys are not given these chores, if it's not the expectation that it'll be their responsibility, then, you know, they don't get to practice them, right? And they don't do them as much. And so yeah, maybe they're not as good at it. And so one thing that happens in this respect is that women can take that chore back, right? So if, you know, I'm given the responsibility of doing the laundry and I'm doing the whites and I throw a red sock in there, you know, and I ruin it, then that might be an indicator for the next time that I won't be asked to do it, right? If I burn dinner, then I might not be asked to do it. And so it is the case, right, that men can be less efficient at housework. Now, that can be because they are legitimately not good at it, but it also can be that men feign incompetence to get out of it too.
Let's bring in Pam now in Richland Center. Hi, Pam.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just thought of two things. One is kind of, I think, the emotional thing to feel like fairness. You know, my husband and I raised two sets of kids, and, yeah, we could get the kids to do more chores or we could go out to eat more, but I wanted to feel like we're equally doing it. So the strategy I used is, if you do the dishes, it's an aphrodisiac. We'll have more time together because you're taking part of the chore than we could have alone time. You know, to me it was like, this is, but you're not doing the chore, we're going to have less time. So that was my strategy. The other thing is, I think about children and how they're raised, because my daughter was saying in college she chose to be in an all-girls dorm because we know the boys' dorms are really messy, or the co-ed dorms are more messy. And I saw that at my kids' cabin, you know, children's camp. You go into the boys' cabin, it's really messy. It's as if they don't know how to clean, and you go in the girls' cabin and it's clean. So some of it seems to be how we're raising our kids, too. So the emotional issue, and then the kids, too.
Pam, really interesting adding to this discussion here. Dan Carlson, she also started out with talking about time, that, you know, allowing, if you divide up the labor, the work, you have more time together.
And that can certainly be the case. There's a study that was done in 2010 by Constance Gager and colleague, which showed actually that, you know, couples who do more housework, who spend more time in these tasks, actually have more sex. And, you know, she called this like a work hard, play hard sort of mentality. And so there's certainly, you know, something to this notion that, you know, by pitching in together and doing things together, that you can get these things done and then, yeah, have more time, right, for leisure, have more time for play. As opposed to, you know, one partner being responsible for it and therefore, you know, maybe taking longer to do it, right? You know, you can get more accomplished with two as opposed to one. And if one is doing it all, then they might be tied up with it. And then, yeah, you're not spending time together, not only doing that task, but doing other things that you might be preferring to do.
Let's bring in Steve now in Madison. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm commenting on one of your previous callers. I think you say he was a stay-at-home dad, and when he's at home, he does the laundry. When she comes home, he expects that she might do it. And I have found in my relationship of 44 years that it's just nice to know, hey, my job 100% is the laundry. Your job 100% is doing the cleaning the bathroom. And then we can, you know, when you come to a point where you can just trust that one another's, you're each going to do your own, but not that you sit back and wait for the other one to do half of the laundry, if you will. I find that that's a much cleaner method of just trusting that, hey, this is my job 100% of the way.
Yeah. So, Steve, it sounds like Steve has drawn up contracts in a way. Dan Carlson?
Yeah. That's a really interesting notion and something that, you know, we've been thinking about looking at, you know, what exactly does it mean to share, right? So you can think about this in a lot of different ways. And again, and all these could be very equitable. I mean, you could do things literally together at the same time, simultaneously, and that's sharing. You can take a task and you can divide it up. You know, I do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You do it the other days. Or you can take tasks like the caller just mentioned, such as, you know, I will do the laundry and I will clean the house and you can do the cooking and you can do the dishes. And that can also be considered to be sharing. And so I don't really have, you know, any necessarily data to suggest that, that one way is better than the other. But it's certainly an interesting notion that how we might do these things in ways that could all be considered sharing might have maybe different outcomes.
So knowing what you know about this research, what advice do you have for couples who are struggling with who does what and when in their households?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the first thing is really just to be open and to talk about this. Again, you know, a lot of couples go into their relationships without talking about it. And so, again, they can fall into these very traditional patterns. If you're unhappy with how housework is being divided, then it's really important that you discuss it. You should also be ready to note that your partner might have a very different perception about how things are divided than you do. And it's important that you work out those different perceptions and talk about why you might be thinking that. You know, one thing that you can do is, you know, develop a chore chart. You know, if you want to keep things objective and make sure, you know, that that things are being done fairly, you can agree to tasks that, you know, and negotiate which ones that you might want to do. You know, but I think, you know, the big picture here is, you know, is constructing a division of labor that works for you, and one that both you and your partner will find to be fair. When someone feels that things are unfair, that's what our research suggests is where, you know, relationships will really suffer. And so, you know, making sure that the division of labor, whatever it is for your partnership is fair for both partners, is likely to lead to better relationship quality.
And in the last few seconds that we have with you, what is next in this area of research?
What is next? Well, so one thing is, you know, the data that we have, you know, the most recent data we have was 2006, and that's pre-Great Recession.
Needs some updating. Yeah,
it does. Right. So the next thing is really getting, you know, again, this data. When we started this, it was like, oh, this data is so fresh. It's so new. And now it's so old.
Funny how that happens.
Yeah. You know, and time flies. So it's time to update that because, again, a lot of things changed after the recession. You know, women really increased the amount of breadwinning that they were doing. The new economy has been really hard for working class men, especially. So seeing how that has shifted is important. And then, you know, to really start delving into childcare and childcare tasks and looking at how the division of individual childcare tasks, you know, pertain to couples' well-being.
Well, Dan Carlson, thank you so much. It's been fun.
Yeah, it really has. Thank you for having me.
Dan Carlson is Assistant Professor of Family and Consumer Studies at the University of Utah, lead author of a study from the Council of Contemporary Families. The morning show this hour is produced by Brianne Shasso and Keely Baltina, Colleen Leahy. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. Michael Derringer provided technical direction. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network.